We're doing a summary. Hello, Moshi. We're doing a summary of Hilchos Malabim. Well, let's just do actually what we learned last night, I suppose. Let's just make a quick stick on what we learned last night. Yesterday we spoke about folding one's talus. Okay. Folding one's talus on Shabbos. So we said, as Alocha, that it offered him a cup of begodim on Shabbos. A person mustn't fold up begodim on Shabbos. And we said the reason is the Merchaber seems to be, well, the Loshen, I can't remember who it was exactly, seems to be Mashba. The Loshen is, it's as tikkun moneh, that you're improving the garment. It's like a benefit to the garment. Ironing out its creases, it's a benefit to the garment. And therefore, one shouldn't on Shabbos. So the Rambam says that it is because it looks like Malabin. It's a chelik of Malabin, really. And therefore, one shouldn't do it. So that's why folding up the begodim is not allowed to do. That's what he says over here. Also, the kal begodim on Shabbos, the person mustn't do it. So there are certain cases where one is allowed to fold a begodim on Shabbos. We mentioned them yesterday, and we said that when is one allowed to fold a begodim on Shabbos? There's certain conditions. One is if the begodim is lov on, it's white. It's a white begodim. Number two, it's new. It's not been used yet. It's not been washed. It hasn't been washed in the washing machine yet. Third condition, it's folded by one person and not two people. So obviously the folding is not so good. Yeah, I mean, obviously when you fold two people, it gets a much better fold. And another one is it must be in the air. You mustn't use the aid of a table or anything like that, a chair. And the last condition is that you need the beggar for that day itself. Yeah, you've got no other substitute. That's the only one you've got. That's the beggar you need for that day. Providing all those conditions, then one is allowed to fold up one's beggar on charge. We said it's very hard to find a practical example of this. So we said, right? A tablecloth is not very common. What do you mean? So, what have you done with the tablecloth? You've taken off your tablecloth from the table, and what, you want to put another one on? And it's never been washed before. You have to say it's a brand new tablecloth. Let's say it could be. The man's got a brand new tablecloth. He forgot to put it out. It was opened up on Erev Shabbos. He forgot to put it out. It's not so common.
Why white?
I don't know. It looks like white. The creases don't improve it so much as a dark garment. I'm not much of a bocky, but the Gemara would say that dark garments, the creases are much more beneficial. I don't know. You see, I'm not sure that's I'm not much of an expert in that yet. Saying something. You want to see you saying that. So you had this last week with the dust as well, yeah? The dust or the snow, whatever's on the beggar. So we made the same chiddush, I say, yeah, between white and dark garments. It looks like it's much more beneficial than dark garments. More than that, I can't tell you, yeah? So we said the chiddush, Kippur Talis, which was an example, the chiddush, that would be an example of that. Then we said, interestingly enough, the Mechaber writes, I've got me through here, the Mechaber writes that even though it's also to fold the God in on Shabbos. If a person folds it, let me read out the Loshen over here, Shaloi Kaseda Kipulai, not in its folds. The person folds it up, but not in its natural folds, I mean, not in the creases that are already there, then the Mechaber holds its mutter. That's what Mechaber says. If it's not in its original folds, it's mutter to fold it up. And the Mishnah Berurah brings down, let's tackle the Ikar Locha, the Mechaber holds like that. But the Bibliz of Maksah Shekel, the Maksah Shekel says that even if you don't do it in its original folds, there is a Mokom Lahachme. Now, I told you yesterday, I was talking today about this, so I told you yesterday, that's the Chayyah what Shulchan Aruch says, yeah? The Mishnah Berurah brings down from the Maksah Shekel. That will come out, the Chayyah should come out from there, that folding up a talis on Shabbos, if you want to be Machme, there's no way to fold it up. It's a very big Chayyah, actually, yes? So I think you have to scrumple it up, it's a big Chayyah, yes? Yeah, it sounds a bit interesting. But, so we saw from Erech Shabbos, the Erech Shabbos brings down the Or at the bottom here, he brings his Maksa Shekel, and he writes, Nirashim Krevus Helka Tan Zer Al Zer Shaloi Bo'oif Mundu'e Klal. He's not careful how he folds it. I mean, see, I don't think he's got his eyes closed, but he's folding it. He's not careful how he folds it. So the Erech Shabbos says that's Mutter, even according to the Maksa Shekel. I don't know if anyone agrees to that. I'm not sure if anyone agrees to that. The Maksa, we're dealing with Erech Shabbos, so we're bringing this in there. That's what Erech Shabbos says. So the Maksa, that's what. No, that he doesn't say. He says you're not medactic cord. If you fold it not in its folds, then there's a mokum lahachme. Okay, if you fold it not in its original folds, the Mechaber holds its mutter. So if you fold it backwards, according to the Mechaber, it's mutter. The Mechaber says venirin devoral, that's mutter. The Mishnah Berurah brings down a Maksa Shekel, who says that there's a mokum lahachme even in this case. Now you shouldn't do it even on the opposite folds. It looks like Rosh Shabbos is learning, that's true in the opposite fold, but if you don't care how you fold it, then even according to the Maksa Shekel, it's Mutter. So if you see someone folding his talis on Shabbos in the opposite fold, the Maisi is doing what Shulchan Aruch says, yeah? It's not doing anything wrong. The Shulchan Aruch says you can do that. We're talking about the Mishnah Berurah brings down a Maksa Shekel, who's a bit more machmir, and says that there's a mokum lahachmir not to do that. But if you fold it in just any haphazardly way, but you fold it up, that's definitely right. Now we're talking about tallis, that means when they get the trousers, the person takes his trousers off at night. So a lot of people, the natural thing is they do is they put it in a fold. That's the problem. That's problematic. If you can get, I don't know what happens, if the person's got a lui tzu, has got such a pair of trousers which fold automatically, then the chayra, I don't think you're doing anything wrong, if that's the case. But
you can take out the top part.
No, that's no good. You hold it on top. That's a very clever way of doing it, but that's no good. Of course that's going to work.
With the belt, is
you hold it with a belt so it goes in this fold. Yeah. If you do, you buy me 10 pairs of those trousers. Yeah. On it, on the belt, where the belt is. If you hold it from the bottom.
No, from the left part. With the belt, fold it.
Or if folded, you shake it to go in the position.
No, that's it. Close it. Fold it in.
It goes in its position.
Yeah? Is that what you think?
No,
you hold it from the bottom here. Yeah? You hold it from the bottom to put it in the fold.
No, not from the bottom. The top. You try to please
help. Depends how you hold it. There's one way of holding it with the fold, but you can hold it on the fold. So you're holding it in the fold. So he's very choosy on
that. Well, he says he's not holding it, he says he holds it on the top, he says.
Yeah. He's holding it like that. It's the folds are there. It's automatically.
Oh, right, simply. But that's what you're doing. Yeah, yeah. Are you holding it?
No.
Are you holding it just loosely on the top?
Yeah.
I'm not sure. Once you fold it in this fold, that's a problem. A normal pair of trousers don't go in this fold normally, as far as I know.
I meant to do that.
I don't know. Yeah.
Bring a pair of trousers
and we'll be sure. Okay. Well, okay. The mice applies a lot of things. Skirts, all these things which have got sort of creases and you want this to go naturally in its crease. It's got the same shiny. It's the same. These are locked quite to women as well as a man. There's no difference between a man and a woman. It's a locker. Yeah? So anything which has got a fold in and you're doing it to put it in that position, that's a problem. We said yesterday that a turned up collar is no problem at all. That's just a natural thing of doing it. And we spoke about hat, which is normally just a little bit of denting to push that in. That's not a problem. Finally, we said, yeah, there you go, the flip, what's it called? The turn up, what's it called again? The bottom of the trousers. The turn ups. If that's come out, that's the same as a hat, the mice. That's not in its crease. That's a natural way of the beggar just to put it in. That's much to do. Okay, everybody, so that's more or less the halachas of Kibbul Begodim. Let's make a little bit of a summary on what we learned in Hilchos Melabim. A very, very quick summary if we can. Basically, when we started the Melabim, we said the Chidushim, the mice in Melabim, there's three parts of Melabim, three parts of the washing process. Obviously, what the Isra of Melabim is to clean a garment. There's actually three parts to cleaning normally. One is obviously wetting it, Sharia, leaving it, soap, putting water into it. That's Isra number one. Isra number two is Shifshuv, rubbing. It's rubbing it to the side, shaking it around in the water. And the third thing is schita, when you're squeezing out the water that's in there. That's also part of the cleaning process. All those three are Isurei D'oraisa in itself, actually. Each part of the Melabim process is a problem. Even if a person has got a very dirty beged, and he puts the water on the beged, he cleans part of it, but it's still dirty, the beged, but he's cleaned part of it, that's also an Isurei Melabim. So we said over here an interesting thing in Melabim, that Melabim is... The first part of Melabim is Shriya. You're soaking the garment in water. So we said that we are Machmer even if the beggar is clean. Now we had a Machlokes show you about this. And we are Machmer, which rules down, we are Machmer that even if the garment is clean, to soak it again is problematic. I mean, someone's got a clean jacket and he puts it under water to wet it. That is an Issa. It's called Shriya of even a clean beggar is awesome. The only time we allow this is if it's derech lichluch. If the beggar is being wet with water, but it's getting dirty. The Moshe Poskim say, why is it allowed the person now to wash his hands? If he washes his hands with water, he goes to the towel to dry it. The mice is wetting the towel. So we say, that's why, the reason why it's a mutter is because that's called derech lichluch. That's not a way of washing. First of all, the towel doesn't get cleaner. It's interesting. I don't know what the answer is. It's a good question. The mice, even though your hands have just been washed, the mice towel gets dirty. I don't know what the answer is. It's a good question. I remember someone asked me once many years ago, you go in a shower, everyone comes out of the shower, they wash to dry themselves with a towel, the towel gets dirty. What's happened? It's wet. The mice, so someone said to me once, the mice's skin is dirty still. It's coming off, the water cleans the skin, but the mice's skin is still dirty. Whatever it is, it's called derech lichluch. It's called dirty. Drying your hands in a towel is called dirty, even though your hands are wet. The mice, it's called derech lichluch, and therefore you are allowed to wash one's hands and dry it in a towel. We did say a chiddush though, the Issa of Shriya only applies to soft garments, garments which absorb. The moshel leather, the Shulchan Aruch says, for example, there's no problem of wetting leather. This issa of shriyas, pouring water or soaking this item, is only applies to an item which is absorbent, like cloth. Leather is no problem to pour water on it. So someone's got dirt on his shoes, he's caught in some mud, liquid mud on his it's liquidy, it's a dirty rainwater, whatever it is, he's got on his shoes, it's dirty, it's wet. There's nothing wrong with going to pour water over that shoe. We just said, well, I have to worry about the shoelace. Maybe the shoelace one has to be careful about, because that's the material. But besides that, the actual shoe itself, pouring water on leather is no problem. That's part one. Part two is a shifshuf, the scrubbing. That is a problem in all cases. That means even leather, which has got a heta in soaking, one mustn't rub leather. That means if someone's got a stain on his shoe, for example, he's got a mud mark on his shoe, and the only way to get rid of it is to put water on his hand and say, scrub it, rub it with his hand, that is problematic. Because on leather, you mustn't rub. You can, you can soak it, but you can't rub the item itself. It's important to know, we said plastic as well, soft plastic might be the same problem as well as this. Rain again is on plastic, people have got plastic tablecloths that say the harder plastic, still soft, it's not the one that you dispose of. So sometimes, especially Pesach, a bottle of wine spills on the tablecloth. So to take a shmata and wipe that tablecloth is a problem, yeah? That's rubbing it with a bit of force, that's a problem. What you can do is you put your hand a bit wet, rub it loosely, dislodge the dirt, and then take a tissue or wipe it out, that would be allowed to do. That's part two. Part three is the squeezing out. The squeezing out is a serious problem. That is a serious problem in anything. Any beggar which absorbs to a certain degree, that is a problem of squeezing out. So we must be very careful with this. Lamaisa, he in the what's his name, in the Orcha Shabbos over here, let's just give a few examples. The Orcha Shabbos is very busy with nappy wipes. What's he called? These baby wipes. So we went into this by Arichas actually, when we spoke about this. And he says over here, a person mustn't use a baby wipe in order to clean a child, or for any other purpose, because even though it's paper, in inverted commas, it's some material, but the juice that's inside there, when you rub it, the juice comes out, and you want the juice to come out. The person doesn't want just the juice. That's a big question we saw already when we learnt it, that where is the juice? Some want to say the juice is lying on top. It's not absorbed into the materials. It's a chiddush, that really, because pashtus, there's a lot of liquid in there. And to say that it's just lying on the top surface is a very big chiddush. So to use it, to rub it, and that way, when you're doing schita, because as you rub it, the juice comes out, and you want that juice to come out. So that's enochalam, it's not malabim, we said, because malabim is not on paper, but it's an issur, the other issur of schita of dosh, which is a problem, and therefore using these things are problematic. So if someone's got a dirty table, for example, and he wants to take a wet tissue, he wants to wet a tissue, and then rub it on the surface, like that, he's got a problem. Because what he's doing is, he wants the juice to come out of the tissue. And he's doing schita on the tissue. That's a problem which is not allowed to be done. The Maisa, it's become a very big market, this actually. I remember when I left this a while ago, and I was in Tesco's, and in Tesco's they've got a whole aisle, but they've got a chelit now for, not baby wipes only, but for wiping oneself at the base of kissing. You can get these toilets or whatever it's called, which is a similar idea. These are problematic on Shabbos. One may not use, lechoir, one should not be able to use it on Shabbos, because what one's doing is one wants the juice to come out. So to say that the juice is just on the top surface, I find it's a chiddush. Well, I'm not saying no one says this, but the chay is a chiddush, that pshat. That's number one. Then we spoke about schit. What? You can put water on there. Say you've got a sticky tablecloth, or a plastic tablecloth or sticky. So what you do, put a bit of water in your hands, rub it on here, dislodge it, and then take a tissue and wipe it out. You're doing the opposite of schit, yeah? The tissue is wiping up the thing. You're not squeezing out anything. You're just wiping out the dirt that's there. That's mutter. That you could do. Mustn't squeeze it. A tissue that's dripping and you lift it out, that's not schita. That is based on a natural water that's lying on the surface. You're not squeezing anything. To take the tissue and if you go to the dustbin, you squeeze it out, that's also to do. But the actual tissue itself, pastures, which has got a hole of water in it, you put it on. Someone's got a spillage on the floor, for example. So the matter to put a cloth on is risky because there's a danger that person might squeeze out. He's got a cloth which is normally is mucked on, so to take a cloth and to put it on there is the risk, you might squeeze it. To put paper tissues or serviettes on there, that's mutter, but again, you must be careful not to squeeze out the serviette, but just lifting up normally, we say that's not a problem, that's not called schita. That would be allowed to be done. So that's the best way to wipe up. It's like a good point. Someone's got a spit on the floor. That's the best way to wipe it up. You put tissues on the floor or whatever, a newspaper on the floor. And we said last time about the newspaper, even though we're not worried about moichik on the letters of the writing, when someone puts a newspaper with writing on, he puts it on the water, he puts that on the floor, that's not problem moichik. The writing they use nowadays generally is doesn't rub off with water. So there's no problem of moichik. So a person can put a newspaper on there, let it absorb the thing, and then put it into the dustbin. That's what it's to do. No, you can't squeeze it. You can never, ever squeeze.
If it's on the carpet, you can apply pressure?
No, definitely not, friend. Definitely not. It's an important point. You can never apply pressure to a material. Because once you apply pressure to a material, you're squeezing out of the material. That's sita.
If it gets absorbed into the tissue, you say it's a tissue on the carpet, so the tissue on top, you apply pressure, so
it's... I mean, I'll tell you where it's coming from. It's a good point. We spoke about it when a person goes to the mikveh, for example. Let me just come one minute before we come to your point. We spoke about an interesting point that when a person washes up, for example, it's similar shayla to this, yeah? When a person washes up, the normal way of washing up, let's say you take a shmata and you wash the dishes with a shmata. That is the problem on Shabbos. Why? Because you want, when you wash the dishes up, you want the juice to come out of the cloth. So you want that liquid to come out. So you're going to tell me, let's use a brush. A brush is not Issa Minatoira of Sita, because there, it's nothing is really Minatoira, nothing is absorbed into the brush, the bristles. The bristles are very tightly packed, so the water gets trapped in it, but Minatoira, that's not called absorbed into it. Midrabanon, it's still also to do. A person, bristles which are very tightly packed, and to rub it in the way that the water comes out, so the moshel, like a normal washing up brush, which has got bristles which are very tightly packed, to use that on Shabbos, this is Rabbanon. Because as you rub it, the water comes out. Even though you're not squeezing anything, but the water that's trapped inside those bristles will come out. What you can use is a special, it's not a special thing, you can buy them very easily. They're like, I don't know what it's called. It's not steel. Steel was the same problem. Steel also absorbs. And, it's a scarrow with lots of holes inside it. We bought it a long time. It's a scarrow with lots of holes in it. That means as you lift it up, the water doesn't hold in it at all. It completely just drains out. There's no a way of absorbing anything. That is mutter. Wonder what we just told. Oh, so 1 minute. So what? Yes, I can't pick up. So that, what he's coming with is like this. So we spoke about the mikveh. Someone goes to the mikveh, for example. So we said the same thing applies to your hair. Sita Cyrus. In Minatoira, the water's not absorbed in your hair. It's not absorbed. It might be trapped in the Gemara. The Mishnah says that the Maisa, even though the Gemara says ain't seated the Cyrus, that's Minatoira. But Midrabanon, there's an issue of squeezing out hair. So a person goes to the mikveh, for example, a person goes out in the rain, and he gets his beard full of water, he comes home, he goes over the sink, hopefully over the sink, and he rubs his beard, gives a good squeeze to get all the water out. He's done an issue with Rabbanon Sita. Someone goes to the mikveh and he rubs his hair very well to get all the water out. That is a problem of schita b'drabon. So Shlomo Zalman says on that, if a person puts a towel straight on to his hair, he just dabs it on very lightly. The water that comes out just goes straight into the towel. There's no issue of schita. But your case over there, you want to tell me now with the carpet is to rub it on the carpet. That's much worse.
I want to apply pressure.
No, that doesn't even have
to be.
Yeah, because the hair's schita b'drabon on. This is much worse.
When you're talking.
You can't really compress it. Pressing it is much worse. The part of sound, it absorbs it. No, patting it is much worse. To pat it, once you pat the thing, it's absorbent. The hair is not absorbent. It's much more makers, much more colours. It's an istadra bottom, the whole seat there. So there it's not really trapped. So then I think we allow you to put a towel on. To go further, I have to shut this up, but to go further on the material and to dab on the material that comes out, that's a hitch.
So what's the clear? Is the issa squeezing out of the carpet or into the tissue? Where's the
issa?
Coming out of the carpet or going into my tissue?
I'm not sure what you mean. You're telling me, you just go straight in. I'm sure his Zama doesn't use a swarm, it goes straight in. He's not matty stubbers or just because it goes straight in. That's not the heter completely because it goes straight in. That's not a heter because of squeezing. Because you're going to tell me if you squeeze something, it goes straight to wash into the dustbin. Is that a heter? Is that what you say the same thing? Or you go straight into another cloth? That's not a heter. That is not a heter, I don't think so. It's a good point. I don't think that's right. Okay, what else was an interesting thing? Okay, then we spoke about floors as well, obviously. That's very relevant. I mean, I said to you, don't know what the allowance is. Could be there are people who do allow it, but I'd like to, if anyone can tell me, I'd be happy to hear it. What the heter is, for example, to clean the floor on Shabbos. The moshel to get a goiter to clean the floor. Normally, whatever you can't do yourself, you can't ask a non-Jew to do. So the maestro, to use a mop on Shabbos is definitely a serious problem. Because there, when you use a mop, but what you have to do is, obviously, part of the cleaning process when you use a mop is that you put the head of the mop in the water, you squeeze out the water in order to be able to wash it again, the floor. That's a serious problem. That's melamin. That's the problem. then the chayyim, that can't be done. If you can't do it yourself, the heter, then the chayyim is no heter to get a non-Jew to do it. In Eretz Yisrael, it could be a bit better, because you could use a sponger. I think we spoke this out already at the time. So when you could use a sponger, so b'shaya satchan, even though you must use a sponger on Shabbos, a person mustn't really clean a house on Shabbos, really, with a sponger, because the Chazal made a gezeira, nandu melabin, of ashle gumus. Chazal don't allow a person to use a sponge on Shabbos because of Ashkelon, it's an Issa Rabbon. To get a non-Jew to do an Issa Rabbon on, but Mokom Seirach in certain cases allows. So a sponger might be used in certain cases. So that is already better. So that could be better. If a Baal has a heter to use a sponger, now the goy to decides to use a mop, that could be a better. That's maybe better. But that heter l'choy doesn't apply in England. In England, you can't use a sponger, right? First, you need to have a sponger. Number one, you need to have a sponger. Second, you need to have a hole in the floor to get the water out. So it's not very practical. You haven't got that. You can't, you know what I mean? That's not practical. First, you need to have a sponger. It has to be realistic. I don't think it's a fair thing to say that the Maisi could use it. It's unlikely he can use it today. Therefore, that head doesn't lie. Okay, everybody, so that's more or less the end of loving. Thank you.